Mishnah says like this. It's a very well-known Mishnah. And it's something which seems to everybody self-explanatory. Now, those Mishnahs are usually the hardest ones. Okay, it's Mishnah Chaf. Avos Perkamishnah Mishnah Chaf. Yudah ben Tema Omer. Says, Havi Az Kanema. Okay. Az Kanema. How do you translate Az Kanema? But, see, Az Kanema is not really, it doesn't really mean strength. It doesn't mean physical strength. It means, Az means that there are boldness of a leopard. It means that when a leopard attacks, he doesn't care about anybody around. He's not concerned about his surroundings. He's just going after the prey, and there's azos. There's a disregard for anything around him. That's Az Kanema. Okay? That's Az Kanema. Bold, brazen. That's what it means. Az Kanema. Be bold and brazen like a leopard. Kal Kanesha. What's Kal Kanesha? Yeah, light, swift like an eagle. It means like an eagle soars without any hesitation, without any difficulty. Just effortlessly, an eagle soars. Okay? That's Kal Kanesha. Rutzkatzvi, running like a deer. So what does the person should mean? What does he run like a deer? What's the metaphor? It means tirelessly. That's Rutzkatzvi. Tireless. It's like they're baiting on a point that's based on the pasuk. The Kovei Hashem in Yeshayo Mem. The Kovei Hashem Yachalifu Choach Yalu Eiver Kanshon. These are alight like an eagle. Yerutsu Velo Yigo. A runner that won't be tired. Yelchu Velo Yachal. That's like Rutzkatzvi. Tireless. Then it says the Gibor Kari. Gibor, what does Gibor mean? Vua means, Gibor means not strength, but it means courageous, courage. That's what it means, courage. Vua means courage. The Rav one time spoke about the difference between Gevura and Koach. Gevura is a human attribute, Koach can be an animalistic attribute. Koach is strength, physical strength. An animal is very strong physically. An animal is not a Gibor. A person is a Gibor. The lion reflects that idea of courage. But he himself is not really courageous. A lion is not really courageous. A lion is instinctual. But the way he acts reflects the majesty of the lion reflects a certain courage and fearlessness. When a person views a lion, it reminds him of the human trait of courage. Okay. The lion is not any more courageous than a hyena, basically. Because they're both operating on an instinctual level. That's his instincts are worked out this way, and the other animal's instincts work out the other way. When man views them, it brings to mind certain kind of traits. That's the problem, by the way, with all these people that study these animals. Usually the people that study the animals, they start projecting onto the animals these human traits. And their scientific data is always distorted. Because, see, scientific data can only... just because a person takes a pen and paper and makes scientific notations doesn't mean it's scientific. Scientific means it's totally objective. But the people that are involved in these things are usually drawn there because of certain emotions. And... in other words, this woman, that Diane Fossey, that she studied the gorillas, and she lived with them. If you read about her life, she wasn't just studying them after a while, she actually was identifying them, and she became part of the group. I don't mean to take away from her observations. There are many observations she made that were good and were correct. But you have to be cautious when you study these areas, because you'll find out that the people that are attracted to these studies, there's a psychological reason why they're attracted there, and you have to be very leery of their conclusions. Okay. Anyways, so the Rav, of course, asked the question. It says, Lo v'gvura sasus yachpats. So Lo v'gvura sasus yachpats. So it seems that a sasus has gvura. So the Rav said, no, because it means the writer. The point of the writer. And the next pasuk says, Lo v'shoki yishiyatsa. So it means it's the person. In gvura, courage is a human quality. Courage is a human attribute. No animal can have courage. An animal has strength, but doesn't have courage. Okay, so gibor kari is a metaphor. Yeah. Now, everybody seems to understand the statement. As a matter of fact, this is really this is really, this Chazal became like the battle cry of the Balei Musar, because it seems so self-explanatory. They're well suited, you know. The only problem with that is that the problem of Chazal saying in the Sechet Sanhedrin, that you're not allowed to apply, not allowed to make a song out of any of the Pesukim of the Torah. It's a halacha that's violated today. Any Pesukim of Tarshish Chasav, or even Tzuvim, or even Shir HaShirim, you're not allowed to do it, because the moment you do it, what you're implying is that the message of the Pesuk can be brought forth in the form of a tune, which means it's basically a simple statement, simple lyric, and it's self-understood, and all you need to do is you apply a tune to it and you bring it home with the tune. But that's against Kol HaTorah, because we don't believe that's true. We believe that every pasuk has very great depth to it, and unless you understand the pasuk, the message can only be brought home through machshava, through thought. But through the song implies that you can bring the message of the pasuk home by the simple interpretation and a certain emotional attachment to that interpretation. That's a denial of Chochmas HaTorah. That's what Chazal say you're not allowed to do. I mean, today, of course, nobody keeps that a lot. But it's a Gemara, and Rav Moshe is safer. When they ask him a question, he's hard put to answer. He says he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he had to fight. And it's true. Yeah. Tefillah and tefillah is different. Tefillah is not the same thing. Because in tefillah, tefillah was constructed in a way to reach a nusach, in a way to reach a person on an emotional plane as well. The ingeniousness of tefillah is how they construct it. That's ingenious. But the nusach, and the ideas of course, but it's a phenomena which was made on a level where a plain person can be moved by the tefillah. That's why nusach tefillah is important. And there's a deeper. Well, getting back to to make a song in the tefillah is not bad, but certainly not ideal. Okay. So the Chazal over here, as far as I'm concerned, would also be the same violation. Because it's Yehuda ben Tema Omer, it's a statement, it's a deep statement, you have to understand what it means. Just as you know, as Kanema, Vlatska Tzvi, so you're going to think about an Emma and a Tzvi, and you're going to understand what the Chazal means. Okay? Yeah. Kanema, that's a good one. What is Shira really? Shira seems to be. What is Shira? So Levine said Shira all about. What did they say? What was the Shira? What was the song? The song! What was the song? Tell him. Look at Tom. Does it sound like a song? Doesn't sound like such great lyrics in terms of a song to me. I mean, I appreciate it. The only way to appreciate the Tillim of the song is through the ideas. But the Shira that the Levian said, Allah Duchen, our idea of song is a different idea of song. What was the song? The song was L'Davin Nizmah. Let Hashem Lord Samalala, Tehil V'Yashiva. That was the song. What kind of a song is that? And the song, the Shira Shal Yaman, the Shira had to Yom Tov. These aren't songs, these are Kepetlach Tillim. But the Tillim is a song because it is an idea that moves the emotion in the right direction. That's our concept of song. It's a different idea of song. The world doesn't know what that word. The word song that we use is a completely different idea. The world doesn't recognize what that idea of song is. There is the term song that we use is a completely different thing. It means something completely different than what the word. It's a homonym. It's a homonym, like the Rambam says. It only has in common the same name. But there's nothing. Essentially, there's nothing in common. And that was the Shir Shal Yom, Shira. Shira was not a song. It was ideas. Okay, the government is not. Yes, Shiramalos. The whole Sefer Tillim is Shir. When it says the word Shir, there's nothing to do with a song. It has to do with ideas. Ideas that move a person, that direct a person, channel a person's emotions to the right goal, right path. That's called Shir. That's called Shir. Nisachamayim, yeah, right. Nisachayayim, and Shir. That's when they do the Shir in the Midrash. By the Nisachayayim of the Kabbalists. Okay. The Torah doesn't say that there's no place. I mean, they use the instruments, the musical instruments. Alei Asav, Alei Novel, Alei Adonai Bechina. Okay? So they use the musical instruments. The musical instruments accompany the Shir. But the Shir was ideas. That was the Shir. What's the Shir? The song. What is the song? Tell them, it's ideas. That was a different concept of song. Okay. Shir HaShirim HaShel HaShlomo. Shir HaShirim HaShel HaShlomo. What is the Shir HaShirim? The deepest idea is concerning the relationship between man, Klal Yisrael, and a Kodesh Baruch. That's the Shir. That's the song. Song means it only has one thing in common. The only thing it has in common is that it pertains to the emotions. But the Shir, the song that the world refers to, pertains to the emotions, the given emotions of man. His instinctual emotions. That's what it pertains to. In Yadus, the song pertains to the emotions of man and are directed towards the ideas. And that's the concept of Shir. Directed towards the true ideas. Directed towards the Tarabah. That's the concept of Shir. It's a different idea. Okay, the world at this point doesn't know what it means, what the word Shir means. And that's why when you read the Bible critics, when they talk about Tillim and these other areas, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it's talking about. You see a song? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's no concept of what it means. They're different ideas. Different concepts. It means the emotions when they're channeled towards Hakadosh, towards Chochmas Hashem. Okay. Fortunately, that I found a Yad Ramah that says it's only going to come to Shir. So even according to the Yad Ramah sheet today, the Rabbi Shkir said a good shot. That's the true shot. The reason why the Yad Ramah says only Shir Shirim is because of the danger that they could interpret it as just as a romantic song. But the other is they couldn't, so they say yes, it was no. So there's one sheet in the yes. In the Middash it was okay. Because in the Middash it was the Sanhedrin was there. And then the whole Chachmei Yisrael. So there's no danger of making a mistake. But over here we just make a song of it, but a pasuk in the yes. You're implying to people that's the way. Well, that's the problem. I mean, today's cure. Today's cure is done through the superficial method of these songs. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. Maybe you should be mocking it this way. You know, you have to be the Al-Sekhel to know... But it certainly shouldn't be something which is used on the higher level. On the higher level, shouldn't be used. On the higher level, shouldn't be used. But that's what Chazal say. What does Chazal say? So what should we do? So what should we do? So Klal Yisrael asks God, what should we do? The Bakim Mishtos? What should we sing the Bakim Mishtos? So there's a very simple answer. And that's the answer. That's the answer. The answer is, you should be asking God. That's the song. Okay? We'll be out of business. Just like a cub, what's the worst issue? Shkutei chutz. Rabbanus, the worst issue is shkutei chutz. Because under the auspices of the Middash, with the Sanhedrin, there's no danger of making a mistake. But once you get out of there, it gets very dangerous. Shkutei chutz. In Yadus is one thing about Yadus that exists only in Yadus, and it shows you the uniqueness of Yadus, not in any other religion, and that is that if you'd ask in any religion, you'd ask the people who are at the head of the religion, what is the most dangerous thing for the religion? What would they say? They say the passions. Passion. Passion is the most dangerous thing. Which passion is the most dangerous one for a religion? So they'll say romantic, sexual, instinctual. You see? Those are the ones that are dangerous for these religions. That's why these religions always put those things down. In Yadus? Yadus, what's Yadus' answer? What's the most dangerous passion in Yadus? You know, Which is the most dangerous? Religious passion. Religious passion is the most dangerous. That's the most dangerous. What is that? Religious passion is the most dangerous emotion. Is the religious emotion in Yadus. Because misguided, it's totally destructive. Because it takes a person completely away from reality. Yadus recognized it, and that's why the whole Torah is from the beginning to the end is against the Avodah Zarah. What does it mean? The Torah recognized the most dangerous emotion is the religious emotion. It's misguided. It's the most dangerous emotion. That's what Ezra. Okay. And you'll see the other religions they're too concerned about that. Never, on the contrary, they don't recognize that the danger. But the, and it's good, the Yadus recognizes the danger, the most dangerous emotion is the religious emotion. Misguided religious emotion, okay, because it takes personal reality. But it puts them totally in fancy denial of God's reality. Okay. People are hard put to explain it because they say, what is really so terrible about the, why is it considered such a worst thing? So they want to say, I saw somebody was grappling with this problem. They said that what's bad about it is that the Avodah Zarah always had sexual rights. And it's true. Because since it's instinctual, so one instinct draws on the other. That was by the egel. They start off with the egel, Eila Lach Yisrael, and then the next thing that happened was, the shasso is the infinity. It means an infinite process of shtia, of dreaming. Vayakumu l'tzach. And then it was a So that's why Avodah Zarah is always tied. The ancient Avodah Zarah, the rites are always tied to the sexual. So but that's not really what, that's true, that's not really what's wrong with it. What's wrong with it? But yeah, because you see there are religions that go to the opposite. Because they recognize it, so they go into a state of denial of the sexual. That's the negative form. The negative form. That's because it's typed. But the real evil of Avodah Zarah is a denial of the Tzelem Elokim. of the Chochmas, of the Chochmas Hashem. And I love Chochmas Hashem. That's the real evil. Because it's a distortion of reality, and Yad just demands that a person in the country, that God created reality, he wants man to partake of that reality. And he wants man, but that man should know the source of the reality, which is the kind of God. That's why Bodhisattva is a great thing. A misguided religious passion. Okay. The funny thing about the Mishnah is like this. First of all, Rabbi Shapiro's question, why these four? That's one question. The next thing is it says, Lasos Ritzon of Richa Shabashamayim. What is that? What's this strange kind of question? Lasos Ritzon of Richa Shabashamayim. That's why, by the way, this is very, people emotionally are very attached to this, to this member. Because it captures the emotion. To do the Ritzon and the will of your Father in heaven. Of course, the implication is a dangerous one. Because the implication is that you're helping God in some way. You're helping God to fulfill his will. Anyone that believes that is an idolater and apostate. That's against Kol HaTorah. That's against the Holy Others. A person thinks he's helping God. He's doing it to help God. That's a vatazor. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. That's why I said when you make something into a song, it's dangerous because you just hear on the surface what grabs the emotion could be complete kafira. Could be complete kafira. A person that does mitzvahs because he feels that he's assisting God to bring about his will on earth is an oved vatazor. In other words, it's a denial of a kadosh baruch. It's total denial. And a person like that, it would be better for a person not to do any of the mitzvahs at all and to have a correct idea of God than to do all the mitzvahs for such a reason. He's completely removed from God. He's as far away as a person can be. Okay? So that's the danger in taking a member and just putting a song to it and appeal to the emotions. So we have to understand, why did it say Lasos or something? It could have said, because of, say, it's an expression of like an emotional tinge to it. Okay? So we have to understand why they use that. Why do you use that expression? Lasos Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lasos Ritzon Borecha. Okay, Borecha. Okay. Now, let's take a look in the Mishnah again. First, who are your Omer? He used to say, Az Ponim L'Gehenna. A person that has a boldness, shameless. A person that's shameless, he goes to get it. With boshes ponim, a person that is shameful, that has a certain kind of boshes ponim would mean what? A certain kind. It's not just humility. It's not exactly humility. Boshes ponim means a person that is capable of being shamed. He has a certain sense of like a sense of priority. A sense of propriety. Okay? That's boshes ponim. If he does something wrong, he feels shame. He feels shame. Okay? And he says, that person goes to Gan Eden. What does that have to do with the first part of the Mishnah? And the third part of the Mishnah, that is just as difficult, is the Mishnah ends off with a tefillah. Yiratzon mufanecha, the only Mishnah like this, ad Hashem Elokeinu, shetibone ircha b'mehera b'yameinu, v'seicha keinu b'sarah zecha. In the middle of others. What is this? Not a place to do this follow. Food is very good, but you have to know the place. You have an order. And just this time, this follow. No, when to do this follow? What is the end of the food? What kind of statement? Okay. That's a very good observation. Why it says she yibone ircha b'mehera b'yameinu. We say in the Tfilis, and he said, Shetibone Ircho b'mher v'yameinu v'sincho ken v'sar v'sachal. Why is he says Ircho, and we say Shetibone b'sar v'sachal? Which one? I could tell you right away why we say Shetibone b'sar v'sachal. Why do we say Shetibone b'sar v'sachal? What's the Yid Rotsin after Tfilis? Because Tfilis is carbon. So therefore, we say that Tfilis is makom carbon. Because in the Shalma Parnas we're saying that even though the b'sar v'sachal is gone, the carbon is not gone. Because we have another way of bringing kabbalas. That's verbal. We bring verbal kabbalas are just as good. You don't have the midrash, you have the verbal kabbalas. But we hope to reinstate the original carbon. So you're born based on midrash from here of Emmanuel, it's not a camera says, Vishom na vodcha biyura kimeolam, Vishom kadmonios. Which means to bring back the midrash and the kabbalas because tefillah is in place of carbon. Okay, that makes sense. But over here we have to understand why you say such a kabbalah. Okay? There's one thing in the memory that you see right away. There's a contradiction in the memory. Where's the contradiction in the memory? There's a contradiction in this. Exactly. Right. That's right. First it says, Hevi Atz Kanema, which means a person should be bold like a leopard. And then it says, he said, Atz Kanem Legehenem. A person that's bold goes to Gehenem. So, a person that's bold goes to Gehenem. So, on the contrary, so what is it? It's a contradiction? Why is he? It depends what he's being bold in. Okay. I know, but it's not just coincidental that he has the same quality of boldness in two different frameworks. See? Huh? Chutzpah negative. Yeah. The second one is chutzpah negative. See, it's an interesting memory. This memory, I think, stands out among the other memories because of the fact that, it is aiming at a very specific level. Pirkei Avos really was constructed to show the ideas that we received at Sinai, and the ideas we received at Sinai were not just in Torah itself, but Torah and all embracing. It's in Torah, philosophy, and psychology. I mentioned before that the Gadlus HaTorah is the difference between Torah and between abstract philosophers, who, in many respects, are incorrect. But the difference is that the Torah that was given, Torah was given to us by God, was given to us in a way that it moves a person on a lower level. No one's going to be moved by Aristotle's ethics unless they're on a certain level. But the Torah is given us in a way that gives us in a way that it moves a person on various levels. That's why the question they ask, they say, if the Torah is such a deep system of ethics, so why is it stories? Why didn't the Torah write just like Aristotle wrote ethics? They write down the ethical principles and the whole system of ethics just like the philosophers wrote. No. The Torah tells you the story of Avraham Avinu. Story of Yaakov, his life struggle. The story of Yosef HaTzadik. Why is that so? Because the Torah knows that in order to reach a person, we must deal with the psychological, not just the philosophical. So the Torah portrays various individuals and shows you the struggles that they went through in their lives, because this is a beacon of light to a person. When a person is in a situation of the Soyin, and he knows, just a second, there was somebody else that was in that same situation. And you study what went on in his mind, he's a model. This is something which moves an individual towards perfection. Abstract philosophy can't do it by itself. Abstract philosophy is very nice. But how do you bridge the gap between the reality of a person's emotions and the abstract idea in the philosophy? There's only one way. And that way is to show him another human being that went through that same struggle, that same difficulty, and he can identify with that individual and study and learn from that person's experiences. That's why the Torah sets up models and personalities. Maisevos. That says Maisevos, but not just others. You have the Dovra Melech, you have the Yom also. Different individual shows you the struggle, it brings it down to reality, it brings it to a person's emotional level. That's the benefit of Torah. That's one thing. And also, that's the difference. That's the difference between Torah's approach and between philosophy. That's why you don't have any, you don't have a system of ethics. Yeah, you have myselfos. The Torah also works in a way, it gives you an avos, it gives you psychology, it teaches you psychology. A person should be aware of certain psychological mechanisms that he could use for his own benefit. Okay? And this Mishnah, I believe this Mishnah differs from every other Mishnah because of the fact, in a basic way, because it is aiming at a certain level of function that is below the ultimate level. But it's trying to reach a person on a lower level. Okay? Let's take the last part of the Mishnah first. The second part of the Mishnah first. Not the tefillah part. But Az Ponim L'Gehenim. And Boshis Ponim L'Ganeidim. What does this mean? So the Rambam says already. The Rambam says that Chazal say that the Jews have certain traits. And the Rambam says, that there are three traits in this nation. That's why Yasser didn't see it. He said, no, they forbade the Klal Yisrael to marry them, because they didn't have these traits. What are the traits? The traits are Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Gomer Chasadim. Interesting. Rachmonim, it means that the compassionate people. A Jew has mercy. That's his nature. And he's also a Baishon. It means to say that he has shame, and he's not an Azponim. He doesn't have an arrogance and a boldness, but he has a certain kind of emotional integrity, a certain shamefulness, that if he does something wrong, he's actually ashamed. He has a certain wariness. He's not just bold. A certain wariness in his emotional makeup. In his emotional makeup. And it means that if a Jew is shown to be wrong, he'll experience a greater pain than other people. On the whole. That's a Midas Nation. Fashion. And Gomlei Chasadim means that they're kind people. Gomlei Chasadim, Nili, and Rachmanim are very close together. Closely tied. Because Rachmanim means they identify with other people. They feel compassion. Towards any person. Towards any human being. Rachmav al-Kamasa. And that's why you're Mefarnes and Nia Yakim too. Gayim, they're poor. So we need to mitzvah to Mefarnes them also. Support them. Give them tzedakah. Get Tosha. Empathy. Even animals, Tzar Balachayim, okay? But the Tzar Balachayim, but the, so Rachmav HaKol Masav, it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which a Jew, because of his, the fact that he's Zera Avraham, and because of all the years of being committed to Torah, he has this emotional mechanism, Rachmav. And Gomlei Chasadim means that it's Gmulas Chesed, it means he's not just compassionate, but he also is able to put his hand into his pocket and to give of himself financially and personally in terms of his time and his efforts in terms of chesed. He's gomlei chasadim. Okay? Because a person can be compassionate, identifies, and that's it. He walks away. It's a shame. It's terrible. But he walks away, and that's it. So a Jew is more. Has more. The other, so really, rachamonim and gomlei chasadim are one trait. It's just Gomlei Chasadim is a further development of Rahman. And the other side you have Baishonis. What is Baishonis? Baishonis means that the person feels a sense of shame. And he doesn't have a certain type of arrogance. Yeah, Azas Metzal. What does it mean? It means like this. So I'll ask you a question, but the fact is that we know that the only value that there is in really doing mitzvahs is not based upon an emotional plane. Because all these emotions can get a person into trouble. A person is merachim when he's not supposed to be merachim. So it's wrong. If you're merachim on an Azov, Esther Amalka would have been merachim on Haman or Russia when he was begging and pleading for his life in the worst catastrophe. So she's able to, it didn't affect her, and she had him destroyed. So you see, Rachmanis is not the answer. We don't believe in emotions. No emotional attitude could ever really lead a person to perfection. So on the one hand, we know that no emotional attitude can lead a person to perfection. On the other hand, we praise these emotions. And we say, don't know if you can't marry somebody that doesn't have these qualities. That was the answer on the Nesidim. So, how do you reconcile the two? How do you reconcile the two? That's the answer. But the apparently, what Yadis is saying is that if it's not in your makeup, if it's not in a person's makeup, then it's a tragedy. But it means it like this. It means that there is no emotional attitude that you could use to guide you through life. That's the mistake of the guy in the world. Ethics, where they maintain that just there's such a thing as secular ethics. Secular ethics is nonsensical. Rationally, you can never understand it. It doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to be ethical. There's no reason in the world to be ethical. You can never show me a logical argument why I should be ethical. It doesn't exist. I can argue that, on the contrary, I just survive a little first. See, that's the way nature is, that's the way I'll be. There's no way to argue. It's only something that they try to use because it has an emotional appeal. It has an emotional appeal. But an emotional appeal, then you get into trouble. So which emotion should I follow? Which emotion shouldn't I follow? And let's say even the emotion that has appeal, when do I follow it? My child is begging me to let him go play in the street. Do I follow that emotion of kindness and rahmanas or not? So you see, obviously any intelligent person knows that there's no way that you could follow an emotion and reach any kind of perfection. But yet Yadda says that there are basically two emotions that it endorses. One of them is Rachmanis, and one of them is Baishonis. Why is that so? Because what Yadis maintains is like this, that a person is emotional. You can't get away from it. A person's emotions is an integral part of his makeup. They're dangerous in terms of directing his life. But the Torah maintains that a certain kind of emotional attitude is good when you have a choice between various emotions. There are certain emotions which, on the whole, it is better for a person to partake of because they lead a person to perfection. Okay? Yeah, I just maintain, yes? Because the two emotions that are endorsed by Yadis is Baishonis and Rachmanis. Rachmanis, why? Because Rachmanis takes a person away from yourself. Rachmanis takes a person away from yourself. It gives them feeling towards an outside reality. So on a basic level, you must have that emotion. You don't have that emotion, and the person is totally into himself, totally narcissistic, and it's impossible to perfect myself. Because you cannot perfect yourself unless you get out of the emotion. Vaishanas as well. What does Vaishanas come from? Vaishanas comes from the super ego. It means that a person is, in a certain sense, that he feels, she feels shame if he does something that's improper. If you take that emotion away, then the instincts will be remedied. That emotion of Vaishanas is the counter to the instinctual. And the question is, where should a person be? In what situation should you have to have an emotional plane? Because a person functions on an emotional plane. So Yadda says, you should function on the emotional plane of Vaishanas. If he functions on that plane, that's, even though it's not rational, but it makes it possible for him to be rational. If he doesn't have the, if he doesn't have the Vaishanas, if he doesn't have that sense of dignity, that if he does something wrong, that he feels it's an indignation to his personality, if he doesn't have that sense, then he can never really be perfected, because the instincts will take off. So therefore, the Torah endorses two emotions, Rachmonis and Vaishanas. Of course, the Torah dictates that these emotions are just a platform from which to begin, and then his chachma has to be able to control all the emotions. But he must have that emotional makeup. That's a mark of a Jew. That's the mark of a Jew, to have those two meters, Rachmonis and Vaishanas. It's universal. It's universal. But it's universal. It's universal. But the Jew has it as a strong part of his makeup. Which means to say, when a person's a chote, the Rambam says. The Rambam's like this. Sheyesh lam bosh yaspanim. He says, V'chein amr she moseh z'avram shehim baishanim rachmanim v'gom l'chassanim. Omar, u'bavur tiyeh yirosa al pinechem l'vilti sechatol. V'avur tiyeh yirosa al pinechem l'vilti sechatol. It means that the person is shame. It means that when David HaMelech saw that it was a chote, and Nasan HaNavi explained it to him, so then he felt a sense of shame. He couldn't answer him. That's what the woman says. There was a blank space in the why? Because he couldn't respond. He felt totally ashamed. How could he commit such a fate? So the blank space. There's a blank space in the sefer. Yeah. And before he says "Tosi Lashem," there's a blank space. What's the blank space? The blank space was he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't speak. He felt total shame. When a person feels total shame, he can't talk. He can't move. That's the sign of total shame. He can't function. He ceases to function. That's the space in the other. So what the pasuk says is that this emotion is an emotion which a person has to have, and which really helps a person, which benefits a person. But of course, the emotion can't be the guide. But that is the base, the emotional base, the correct emotional base that a person has to, that a person's yadus has to be built up. Okay. All right, we'll stop there. We'll finish.